If you have your Bibles tonight, would you turn with me to our text from this morning, Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. As you know, in the most unusual service, or sermon, I would say, I gave this morning, as you know the title, and that is An Interview with Lot. If we can just give Lot the microphone, what would he say? What could he tell us? Now, we don't know for certain if he learned his lessons, but a man that came all the way through like he did, I'm sure has some things to tell us. We know the scriptures are very clear on what happened to him and why it happened, the decisions he made. And I, for whatever reason, the Lord, I believe, is leading. I wanted us to hear from Lot as to learn how to live our Christian lives, as to learn how to avoid the pitfalls that Satan and this world often offers to God's people. There is much to learn, and I trust that we can learn from Lot. Now, Lot's a saved man. The Bible makes it real clear that it's just Lot from Peter's text. We know he's a righteous man. We know he's in heaven. One of these days we will meet him, and we will ask him if he was, if truly he could tell us some things. I'm sure he will, all to the glory of God, no doubt about it. But we are thankful tonight to have his story, because sometimes you can learn from the mistakes of others. And I'm thankful that we have this text. Now, it's a sobering one, and I want it to be a blessing and a help to you. I got a little nervous, though. At dinner today, we were sitting around the dinner table talking about it. It came up. And what came up actually in our conversation at lunch or dinner today was Christmas. And my wife began to say, well, you know, I'm thinking about getting somebody this item. And Mom, what do you think? Should I buy Rachel that gift? And Mother just chimed in and said, I think we should just not buy a lot of stuff for everyone. She says, after all, we don't want to look to Egypt. And she took that right from my sermon today. What she was saying is, we just need to be more thankful for what we have. Let's not look to Egypt. And I thought, oh no, I have ruined Christmas. Oh boy, I'm in trouble. That was not my intent to ruin your Christmas. I hope that doesn't translate. But I will tell you this, there are some things about getting our eyes on this world we better watch out for, because there are some dangers. Some real dangers in which we need to learn from. This morning we learned that if we were interviewing Lot, he would say, trust the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. Lot chose for himself, and that's why he ended up there in Sodom. He looked to himself, not to the Lord. Not one time did he seek the advice of Abraham. And he was under Abraham this whole time. He was just following along this man who was following God by faith. But when it came to Lot's decision, it was all by sight. He was through with this faith stuff. Number two, we'd learn this, that riches and success are not necessarily the blessings of God. When he saw the well-watered plains there looking towards Sodom and Gomorrah, that's not necessarily a picture of God's blessings. You can't equate those with the good hand of God, as many have made the mistake of doing. And so may we never make life decisions based on the almighty dollar. There's an almighty God who pays a whole lot better. But I want to start with tonight, number three. Lot, what could you tell us? We interviewed him tonight and said, Lot, you've come a long way. What would you tell us tonight? I believe he would say something like this. Greed is a terrible motivator. Greed is a terrible motivator. Jesus Christ himself warned us from Luke 12, verse 15, where he says, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. We often make life just this constant, monotonous pursuit of things. It's what we can add, it's what we can collect, And we get caught up into that, and the more we get, the more we think we're going to be happy, only to grow old, and we get to the sunset years of our life, and what do we have to do? Downsize. Right? I've heard that so many times. I'm trying to downsize. I got all this I got to take care of. And sure enough, we see that as a normalcy in the American dream. It goes yay to hey. And you've got all this you've got to get rid of. And if you're not careful, we forget the reality of this. When we come to the end, we can't take none of it with us. It's amazing how many times some of you have very much the reality of this in your own home. The things that you thought was so incredibly important can be reduced to a mere shawl that's wrapped around one shoulder or a picture on the wall. And those things may mean the world to you. Yes, it's because this life is fleeting and things really don't mean or matter like we think they mean. And here's the interesting thing about Lot. When he got out of Sodom, he couldn't take any of it with him. At one time in his life, he thought about, there are some plush, greenery, vegetation. My, how my flocks could really flourish there. And all he could see was success. All he could see was the green stuff. And he figured, I can prosper there. Yet, lost it all. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. Lot couldn't take any of it with him. R.G. Lee, that great, great preacher of the old, he one time told a story about a man who was rich and had lots of things, and he wanted even his funeral to just make an impression. And so, sure enough, he had written it out, and they carried it out exactly the way he had planned. At his death, they went out and took his money and bought a brand new Cadillac. I mean, a spanking brand new one. And they built and dug a hole deep enough to put him inside that Cadillac as to bury him in the hole while inside the car. I mean, he's going to go out in style. And sure enough, they had the funeral, had a big crane there, and as it was lowering the Cadillac and the body down inside of this great hole, they heard one man in the back holler out, "Man, that's living." Really? Yeah, that's sometimes what we think. Wow, he's got it made. What, to be buried in a Cadillac? See, that tells you something. An American dream turns into a nightmare if we get our priorities out of sorts. Contentment is the greatest riches one could ever have. Contentment. Paul said to Timothy, contentment with godliness is great gain. The love of money will get you in all kinds of trouble. But contentment, that's where you're rich. I've seen that. My grandfather was a great example of that. He was a preacher that was bivocational. He preached the gospel, but he worked on the side. That's the only way they could make it in those days. And the Lord blessed him. He had a decent home next to the family farm. And I grew up on that farm. And just, Papa loved Jesus. Had the power of God on him. And I remember the last part of his life before God took him and Mama, we'd had this tradition that we would sit out on the back porch together. And he'd take out his pocket knife and he'd be carving away on an apple. And it was tradition. You sit down, you're going to get a slice of apple. And we sat there and we'd talk and carry on, hear what's going on, and you didn't get up quick and walk off. He's like, "Where are you going? We won't do that. Sit down, you know. We're not going anywhere. Slow down," was his motto in essence. And sure enough, we'd sit on the back porch and we'd talk, and he wanted to hear, especially when I got into pastoring, he wanted to hear about the church and how many are getting saved and what good things are going on. But we would sit back there on that back porch and just look out at the backyard. And there was one day he looked at me, he said, "David, look yonder. Isn't that the most beautiful sight you've ever seen?" I looked, and all I saw was a few fruit trees, a bird bath, and there was an old rickety-looking cabinet shop that had a rusty roof on it. And beyond that was the old barn that looked like it had been there about 100 years. And a few trees. That was it. And he was just smiling ear to ear. He looked like a possum looking at a persimmon tree. I mean, he was just smiling. Y'all didn't catch that, but that's a quick one. He just smiling away, just, I mean, loving it. And said, isn't that the most beautiful sight you'd ever seen? Well, I looked at it, and I didn't see a whole lot, you know. But when he looked at it, he saw the blessings of God. And he was just so satisfied. He felt like the richest man in the world back there in that old farm. That God has been the one who's given him this. You know what it was? He had tapped into the wonderful riches of contentment. And that's a beautiful thing. Oh, Lot, he lacked that so much. So what would Lot tell us? Greed is a terrible motivator. Greed is a terrible way to ruin your life. Number four, what would Lot tell us? Number four, he would tell you this, it matters who you hang around. It matters who you hung around. Turn if you would. I was going to read from the text, but we might come back to it. Go to 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 2. It matters who you hang around. I want to show you something tonight. 2 Peter chapter 2, the Bible tells us in verse 6, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned with them and overthrow, making them an ensample unto all those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, watch this now, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For the righteous man dwelling among them, seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Now, I want you to catch a few things here about Lot. You never see in this text where Lot is guilty of the wicked deeds. You do not see him, participating in all of that wretched, rottenness sin that was known and found in Sodom and Gomorrah. The only thing we know about Lot is somehow by his influence, he was able to earn a position, many believe a judge in his land because he sat at the gate. We know that from the text. But we know this so much here from Peter's writing that what is he really guilty of? What has happened to him? Well, the Bible tells us that his soul was vexed. You know what that word vexed means? It means to wear out. Wear out. In fact, you kind of get that idea because it says in verse 8 that his soul being vexed, his righteous soul, look what the next phrase says, from day to day, day after day after day, he just got himself worn out. And it was the influence of sin. But it was not his deeds, it was the deeds of those who he was hanging around. It's almost like, well, I ain't doing nothing. Yeah, but you're with all of those that are. Well, it's not me. I'm just watching. I'm just listening. Do you know that's exactly what the Bible says he did? Right there in verse 8, it says to us, seeing and hearing. Nothing about doing, just seeing and hearing. Can I tell you that's the dangers of filthy TV and filthy internet watching? You say, well, I'm not hurting nobody. I'm not doing anything. But you are vexing your soul by the things you let come in the eye gate and the things you let come in the ear gate. That is what vexed his life. And so, dear friend, please understand, it matters who you hang around. It matters who you talk to. It matters who you spend your time with. I hope and pray that when you come to the house of God, you get around the right influence. You get around people that love you and who are praying for you, who love Jesus and who are in the fight, who are standing for the right. And you need that in this day and time. Listen, we can't get enough church. We need encouragement in this old sinful, rotten world. You're out there living for Christ in a workplace that knows not Christ. You're the light. You're the salt. But I want to tell you, you can get vexed if you don't get into the house of God and get that encouragement and get that propping up again and told again and again, don't be weary in well-doing. God will bless if you stay in there. I hope church will encourage your heart. Amen. I want to do that for you. I don't want to browbeat you. I want to tell you that Jesus loves you and has a plan for your life. And let's stand up and live for Him in this day and time. Oh, I'm telling you, this world will wear you out. That word vex means to wear out. Do you know it's the very same word that was used on Samson? Delilah, day after day after day, said, please tell me your secret. Please, if you love me, tell me. Tell me. Oh, you say you love me, but you don't love me. You tell me. She did that day after day after day. And in Judges, the Bible tells us in Judges chapter 16 that it vexed him to death. Literally just wore him out. And that's when he told her all his heart. And when he told his all his heart, she said, the Philistines be upon thee. And Samson thought, after his hair was cut, he would go forth like all other times. And the Bible says he wist not that the Spirit had departed from him. He thought he would go out as other times. But you see, what brought him to his knees, what brought him to shame, it was the vexing effect that literally worn him down to where he lost his guard and lost his life, in the sense that he lost his sight, was thrown into slavery, and eventually taken his life. Yes, it matters who you hang around. I want to tell you something, and I say this carefully, and I say this very, very respectfully. My father took a stand when I was just a young man. It mattered to him who we were hanging around. And he moved our family from one church to another. He could sense by the preaching. He could sense by the kids. He could sense something that we kids really didn't understand. And he got us into an independent, fundamental, I mean Bible preaching church. There was a time we weren't in a church like that. Oh, yeah, there were times that church filled with the power of God, but something happened. And worldly influences started coming into the church. In fact, I remember the teenagers in that church talking about sex. Teenagers in that church said, well, I just tell you right now, I believe you ought to wait till marriage. I just want to know, that is what I have decided I'm going to do. And I remember that coming up in the conversations in our youth group. Well, that's a good thing in a sense that they made the right decision. But why is that even in the conversation? You understand what I'm saying? And it was in the conversation because of what they were getting and what their friends were doing. Again, I'm oblivious. I don't even know this stuff. But my dad picked that up and said, it's high time I get my family in the right place. And I'm going to tell you what it panned out to be. When Dad moved us and got us into the right place, I got saved. My brother got saved. My sisters got saved. My sisters ended up marrying the preacher's son from that church, now serving the Lord. I, because I got into that church, got under the influence where they brought in good Christian colleges. I looked and thought, well, you know, Pensacola Christian seemed like a pretty good place to go to school. I end up there. I met an angel named Renee Kinnearum. Oh, how God blessed that. And there God called me to preach in my sophomore year. And there God began to put a burden in my heart with a lot of other preacher boys there that we would begin to seek for revival. And God did a great work in my life, calling me to preach, letting me find my life's mate. And then one thing, as I trace my life back, you know what I've got to take it all the way back to? A daddy who had enough sense to know you better put your kids in the right place around the right influence. And it made all the difference in my life. There's no guarantee, though. You know that. And I'm not preaching one side and leaving out. Look, there are no guarantees. If we turn out, if we go forward for the glory of God, you know as well as I know it's only by the grace of God. It's God's goodness. It's His overseeing it. I've known people who were in bad situations, and God in His mercy picked them up and used them. But I'm telling you, it's upon us. It matters who we hang around. I knew, and I could tell story after story, that when you hear the stories of tragedy, all you have to do is peel back the layers and find they lend their ear to the wrong voice. They lend their ear to the wrong voice. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Listen to that verse. Keep thy heart. It matters what you expose your heart to. Keep thy heart with all diligence. In other words, with all your strength, make sure you keep that heart, you guard it. And he says, because out of it are the issues of life. Don't read that, let that pass by, but not grabbing hold to what that is actually saying. Issues. You know what that's equated to? The same as a source of a wellspring coming up from the ground. It issues from the ground and provides the fresh water for the streams and ponds. When I was a boy growing up, that same backyard Papa was looking at, you go a little further, there was a nice big pond out there. We would go out there and fish, and I mean spend all day and just have a heyday around the pond. And I enjoyed those times. There were some great memories out there. There's some big fish and some tails I towed that probably weren't right. But anyway, we had some good days of fishing out there. But I want to tell you something. That pond wouldn't have been there, and there wouldn't even be any fish in there if it didn't have the issuing of fresh water. All someone had to do is go over to the water source. What was that? Well, if you look at the pond, all you got to do is just kind of back up and see that set of trees that's just off the pond. If you go inside of that set of trees out in the middle of nowhere, you'll find inside of that set of trees there was a stream. And you follow that stream around, you come all the way to this little hole about this big. And now that little hole was some fresh water coming up off the mountain, just coming up out of the ground and finding its way to the big pond. It was right there that we were able to enjoy the pond over there. It was right here was the issues. All a man had to do was come over here and contaminate this to stop that. Contaminate the source and there's no holiday at the pond. Contaminate the source and there's no good days of seeing fish and having a good time. I'm going to tell you, Satan, he's after to contaminate the source in your life. He doesn't want you enjoying God. He doesn't want you singing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. He wants to contaminate the very source of your joy and walk with God. Don't let him do it. You guard that heart. You say, man, it's worth it. There's something precious here. It's going to mean something to my kids. It's going to mean something to my grandkids. Stand now, because the rest of your life will tell the tale of whether it was precious or not. Stand. Guard, keep the heart, for out of it are the issues of life. What would you say? What would you say, Lot? It matters who you hang around. It so vexed his soul and so marred his testimony that when it was time to get out, he couldn't even persuade those who he loved in his own family. Well, how did the girls and the wife get out? You remember, I read it this morning. Those two angels, they literally got a hold of their hands and literally escorted them out that early morning as the sun was on the rise. Got to get out of Sodom. God could not lower the fire and brimstone until his chosen one, whom Abraham had prayed for, had gotten out. But here's Lot. He's got other kids. He's got others, their son-in-laws, and they wouldn't hear. They mocked him. They laughed in his face when he said, God's going to bring down brimstone, son. Get out of here. Yeah, all right, old man, right. We don't know what they said, but the Bible says they mocked him. He lost his testimony. Well, the devil would love nothing more than for you to lose your testimony, to make what you say of none effect. Because of years and years of vexing your soul with the wickedness all around you. And they let him out, and Lot lost so much. All the tragedy. I believe we need to hear from people that have gone through times like this. They have some things to teach us, some things to tell us. Lot, what would you say? May God help us to listen intently. Because the Bible tells us his story, that this was a righteous man, but because he availed himself by hearing and seeing on a day-to-day basis the wickedness of the world, it so vexed him that he basically lost his family. Even his girls, when he let out with his girls, they still had Sodom inside of them. Now we know they hadn't known man. They were virgins. But their soul was so tainted. Again, how? Vexing, just like Lot. To the point they would even suggest so in a debauchery, so degrading, in such a way as to commit incest later on by getting their father in a drunken stupor. That's such a tragedy. But that's the pull of this old wicked world. And may God help us. I hope nobody in this church believes that there's a spirituality that gives you such status that you would dare say, those kind of things don't bother me. I hope no one gets the idea that there is a super spiritual status for which we would proudly say, I'm above all of that. I hope your attitude and your prayer is, oh God, there go I, but for the grace of God, there go I. You know, the men and the women I respect? I respect the ones who have a healthy fear of the effects of sin and the power of their enemy. They have a healthy fear of that. They don't talk proudly. They stay submitted because they know there's one out there walking about, seeking who he may devour. And we've got to be sober and vigilant. Not proud. Not loud. Sober. Vigilant. Because of an adversary. Keep within you a healthy respect. I remember a great soldier from World War II who was in our church when I was growing up. We called him Sarge. Old Brother Sarge. He was a sergeant. He was one of those boys that hit the island of Iwo Jima. He loved to tell those stories, and we loved to hear them. Never got old. But every time he told a story, he always, in that story, would say this. And I respectfully say this. He said, those Japs, they were fighting machines. Ain't no man can fight like they could. Wow. I mean, he always left you in awe as the strength and the power of the resolve of those fighting machines. It's what he left you thinking. In other words, he always, and I think a good soldier does, he respects his enemy. He knows what they're capable of. Respects it, I think, in a very healthy way. May God keep that in our hearts, that we respect. We don't proudly walk around and taunt the devil. We know that the only hope we have is greater in us than he that is in the world. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory, that gives us any chance in this fight. It's his grace, his protection, his hand. It's not our expertise. Lot, what can you tell us? He teaches us a lot of things. And may God seal them in our heart. Father,